Each July and August, the Williams College Museum of Art produces a public program series that offers a playful taste of academic experience. This summer, the series titled Ologies is digging into some of the quirkiest fields of study. Also on WCMA's summer agenda is the exhibition Dance We Must, Treasures from Jacob's Pillow, 1906 to 1940, which explores the contributions of Jacob's Pillow founder Ted Shawn and the iconic Ruth St. Denis to American modern dance. Gathering over 350 materials, the exhibition contextualizes the pioneering work of Shawn and St. Denis within the scope of American art history through artifacts that have never been seen before. Dance We Must will be on view at the Williams College Museum of Art from June 29th through the 11th of November. The opening celebration takes place July 2nd, featuring wonderful performances, which we'll talk about as well. To discuss all of this, we welcome Eugenie Prendergast, Senior Curator of American Art, Kevin Murphy. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good as well. Thank you. Assistant Curator of Public Programs and Interpretation, Nina Pelez. Thank you, Nina.
Thank you so much for having
us. And it's good to have you. And Co-Curator of the Dance We Must Exhibition and Jacob's Pillow Archives and Preservation Fellow, Caroline Hamilton, joins us as well. Good morning, Caroline.
Hello.
Hello. Well, let us begin with you, Kevin, as to, and we'll start with the Dance We Must exhibit of how all this came to be.
So this was a partnership that we started with Jacob's Pillow in the fall, right after their festival ended last year. Lisa Doran, our interim curator, and I met with Pam Taji and Norton Owen, who's the director of preservation, and thought that that it would be a kind of interesting idea to partner. We don't often have North County, South County partnerships in terms of cultural organizations. And I saw a little bit of what was available at the archives and got really excited. These are two fabulous people who were making incredible contributions to American culture. And the archives at Jacob's Pillow has been a kind of untapped resource for the study of them and, I think, kind of larger issues in American modern dance and modernism kind of more generally. There's also a giant costume collection. And so Norton Owen suggested and that Caroline come back from the UK to work with us and to be my co-curator on the exhibition.
So when you put all of this together, how does it ultimately fit into the mission of the Williams College Museum of Art?
So all of the, there are pieces that are, one would consider fine art. So there are paintings and watercolors and drawings and other things that one might expect from a museum. But the WICMA is a museum that is doesn't really limit itself to work that one would consider just to be sort of fine art like the Clerk might. We're a museum, and my training in particular is about material culture. So the so almost any kind of object can be the subject of academic study in the same way that I might analyze a painting. I can analyze a brochure, or we can analyze a costume, and so that's kind of the broad approach that we're taking here.
So, Caroline, when you look at this as to how you tell a very large story within a confined number of objects, what has been the challenge in doing that?
We tried to pick costumes that really show the history of the whole company, of both the Denis Shawn Company and the Men Dancers Company, and also costumes that show the history of the pieces within that. So one of the costumes we have was made in 1914, but they kept, Ruth St. Denis kept wearing it until 1940. So it's got layers of history quite literally on it. There's very early hand-sewn sequins and then plastic sequins on top of that. So I think that will be really interesting for people to be up close and be able to see those layers and the repairs and things, the real life of these pieces, as they're the only tangible evidence we have from these performances.
So the repairs. Talk a little bit about that.
It's quite interesting. Some of the costumes have been repaired beautifully. I mean, these are working garments. They're worn to dance in. So there's often rips and all kinds of mends, but some of them are very hasty. So there's one costume which has got a repair in. It's a blue costume, but the repair is in red. It was probably done quickly backstage or while they were touring. So that will be quite interesting for people when they come in. They'll be able to see the costumes from a distance as they were seen on stage. Then as they get closer, you'll be able to walk around quite closely to the pieces. You'll be able to see a lot of the detail.
Typically, what is the life of a costume?
Normally, they're made to be worn for about 20 years. So it is quite a long time, really.
Yeah, that's longer than most of our clothes, right?
Yes, absolutely. But if you think they're only being worn for a small amount of time,
yes.
Sometimes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, and then that's it. Often that's, every night for an extended period, but they're not being worn all day.
Kevin, I'll ask you this question, then I'll go back to Caroline. But talk about the partnership between the museum and Jacobs Pillow and how the two of you have worked so closely on this.
So it's been great. So all of the material, with just a few exceptions, is coming out of the archives at Jacobs Pillow. So basically, I have been ensconced at Jacobs Pillow since January, since Caroline arrived. I've put over 3,000 miles on my car driving back and forth from Williamstown to Jacobs Pillow.
It's farther than you initially think, isn't it?
It is, and it's a good thing that Williams pays mileage.
Yeah, top of the county, bottom of the
exactly.
county.
Exactly. Yeah. You're sort of extending. And so what's been great is that the archives material has been kind of the raw material. And Caroline and I, through looking at the pieces, looking at the photographs, looking at the paintings, looking at the brochures, the promotional material, and the costumes, and seeing how all of that kind of comes together, and from the materials we created a narrative about St. Denis and Sean, and their sort of work to showcase dance from kind of world cultures and bring dances from other cultures to the United States, and then from the United States they toured the world. They were the first company to tour Asia, so that's kind of a lot of the material deals with or depicts them in. Doing performances from India, from Native American dances, from sort of all sorts of places, and then Sean, when in 1933 formed his men's company at what is now Jacobs Pillow, and so we are also looking at how something that was really radical, forming a company of just men, when I think a lot of us think of dance as more oriented toward women. We look at, again, the kinds of materials that they produce, the photographs of them, as well as the costumes, and how all of that worked to Sean's idea about creating a truly American style of dance.
Caroline, talk a little bit about the partnership between the two institutions.
It's been wonderful. So I came back in January to work on this project. So part of the project, as Kevin mentioned when he first visited, he saw a little bit of what the costume collection was. But at that stage, it was largely uncatalogued. So in order to create this exhibition as it is, one of the first things I needed to do was catalog the costume collection. Part of it had been catalogued in 1981, but apart from that, it hadn't. So all these costumes were still in the original touring trunks. So these huge wooden travelling trunks that Ruth St. Denis and Ted Shawn had used. Mm-hmm. A lot of them had been in those trunks since 1940, in some cases earlier. So since January, I have catalogued 1,600 items to date, taking all the pieces out, rehousing them in acid-free boxes and tissue. This project wouldn't have been able to happen without the collaboration with WICMA, which has been fantastic. And then from that, 30 of these costumes are now going to be on display at the exhibition.
So now we move on to Nina as Assistant Curator of Public Programs and Interpretation. So how does this all fit with all of this great stuff? How does that fit into what you do?
Yeah, so
our summer programs every year, I mean, to the point of Kevin saying that we're not our typical art museum, and we think really more expansively of ourselves as a place, also as a convener of community and a convener of ideas. Being embedded within a teaching museum, the program series is really about uplifting the work that's happening already in our exhibitions, in our collections, and in our spaces. So, for example, we actually have Caroline doing one of these summer programs, which is inspired by gerontology, or the study of aging. Usually, that's something that refers to aging people, but in this case, we're playing on that to talk about the care of aging objects and aging spaces as well. So we're really using the museum as a jumping off point to really dig into really different angles and engagement with the material that we have, the really rich material that we have on view right now and in our collections.
I'm going to give the address out, web address out at the end of the segment, and folks can find out more information about the full list of events that you have going on. I do want to spend the 2 or 3 minutes that we have left talking about Ologies, a summer break series of the Williams College Museum of Art. Who would like to tell us about Ologies?
I'm happy to tell you a little bit more.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is our annual summer program series. It's kicking off July 5th and will run every Thursday through July and August until August 23rd. Every year we do these programs, and always taking inspiration from elements of academic life or college culture, but taking a spin on them. So this year we're exploring some of the lesser known or less expected ologies or fields of study out there. So everything, like I mentioned, from gerontology to mixology, to ornithology, which is the study of birds, to callology, the study of beauty, and doxology, liturgical praise, and really working and highlighting the work of local makers and experts of all kinds. So Williams College faculty and staff, as well as we're working this year with a pastor of the First Congregational Church and a bunch of different local makers from across the region, Troy and Williamstown, North Adams, the Hudson Valley, and Brattleboro, Vermont as well.
My favorite is demonology.
Yeah, that's the first one that we're starting this season with. The study of demons. This will be really fun. We're having Professor Jason Josephson Storm, who's a professor of religion at Williams, looking across the collection, all time periods, at representations of evil spirits and fallen angels. So that's the one that'll kick off our season this just next week.
A lot going on. You can find out more, as I promised. You can find out more by going to WCMA, W-C-M-A, WCMA, WCMA.williams.edu for more information about Ologies and Dance We Must and all of the programs going on surrounding all of that. Again, WCMA, it is WCMA.williams.edu. Also, that link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Kevin, Nina, Caroline, I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you all aboard. And have a beautiful summer season. A lot going on. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.